singing it to him now.
Oh, Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, he tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Amen and amen. Be a sanctuary for the Lord. It's good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Revelations 4. Revelations 4 and 1 Thessalonians 4. Revelation 4, 1 Thessalonians 4. Now remember, the Lord willing, Wade and I will be gone to Oklahoma next weekend. So Brother Giuffone's son-in-law, Brother Carlos, will be here preaching for the weekend. So, you know, back him up with your prayers and your presence and all. And, you know, I hope you do better on that than you did watch night service. That's all I got to say. If you enjoyed where you were at better than we enjoyed where we are, then okay. Amen. But that's, remember that. Also remember now there'll be a shower for Josh and Danielle next Sunday after the evening service. So remember that. And also keep in prayer, I know you've announced these, but remember Brother Reed, his father passed away this week, Brother Keith Reed. Remember him and just keep him in your prayers and all. I know he's down and out about it and all. I talked to him yesterday, and he said he was doing all right because he's prepared for it and all, because he's been sick a long time. But just remember that and just keep him in your prayers. All right. Revelations 4 and 1 Thessalonians 4. Father, we love you and we thank you. We know that thou art God and you change not. Lord, we praise your great name. We ask that you would just come among us today, Lord, and speak to us by thy word. And Father, that your light may shine in each one of our hearts and lives. Forgive us when we fail you, and just keep us, Father, that your love may abound in each one of us. And bless those that are not here, and Father, when they hear the tapes, may your spirit quicken unto them, you know, the things, Lord, that you'd have for us to say. Guide us now as we read your word. You come and speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation 4, 1 through 3. Then we'll go to 1 Thessalonians. Now watch the reading. After these things I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, it were of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You may be seated. The Lord at his blessing to the reading of the word. Now we've been through the going through the church ages, and now we've come over to Revelation 4 to begin, you know, further understanding. But remember one thing, and it'll be very valuable to you. This age, I've said this I don't know how many times, but I'll probably say it no matter how many more times. This age is the only age that sees the total fulfillment of the salutation to the age, and the promise to the overcomer of the age while we are alive. All the others went by the grave. What they saw was only partial realization as to what was said to the churches. You know, it wasn't fully understood, you know, because that would be natural, because it's the last age, it takes the rapture, you know. So just keep that in your mind now, that I want you to remember that this age, now we're going to see while we're alive, because if the scripture's right, then we which were alive and remain shall be caught up together, and we're going to be changed, see, and then caught up, all right? See, now, so if that's true, then we get, all right? Now, they come to theirs here because of us.
Amen.
All right? Without us, they cannot be made perfect, right? Hebrews 11:40. See? So they're waiting on you and I. All creation is waiting on you and I, waiting on the manifestation of the sons and daughters of the living God. All right? So now, as we enter this Revelation 4:1, I want you to remember that John in Revelations 1 was taken up in the Spirit and given the revelation. It said the revelation that God gave to Jesus to give to John, see, to deliver to the church. All right? It was the revelation of Jesus Christ. It was not a revelation of John. It was not a revelation of an angel that, like everybody's trying to make one come to Brother Branham, or Brother Branham coming to to John and getting worshipped and things like that. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ given unto John by an angel, but it's not the revelation of the angel. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. All right? Now, so keep that in your mind and remember it so you can understand. Now, John, he was a special one of the group of the 12 disciples. And he's called the love, you know. He's called the one of love, the young John. And if you'll remember, this same John is the one that was given the opportunity that if you'll go over to Matthew, everybody knows this, so we won't have to read it, but in Matthew 16, the last verse, Jesus said, there'll be some standing here that shall not pass away till they see me coming in my kingdom. You know. Alright? And see, 17:1, they saw that. See, John and Peter, James, and John was taken up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they witnessed the actual order of the coming of the Lord. Because we take Matthew 17 and we preach it on to adoption of the Hear Ye Him, and that's fine because that fits in, but it's also there to show, the prophet said, the order of the coming of the Lord. Because it's Moses and Elijah with Jesus. And that's how he's coming again. How? Through the Word, and see, coming to the Gentiles through Elijah, the Word of God through Elijah the prophet, then going to the Jews with Moses, is going to cover the entire coming of the Lord. So we know that when he goes to there, the two witnesses will be Moses and Elijah. So then he was a special person and chosen, you know, for this event, to where that he would see things, and he's also called the prophet out of the, when you got the dealings with him, he's more in the prophetic realm, the book of John. I like to read that. Luke is a physician and he's particular in what he says, you know. I mean, precise. He brings it down. He was not an original disciple, but yet he said, the only one that says, having perfect understanding, all right, by the Holy Spirit. See? All right? But see, John was one that was chosen for these special events, and he actually enters into the prophetic realm to where he's the one chosen then to go to Patmos. All right, so that's what we were reading there in John. Now, if you want to read with me, and just turn back in John 21, and we'll see something else that he was told. Now, remember, this is two events. I want you to make sure and get that correct. There's two events. The, The first event is Peter, James, and John is taken to Mount of Transfiguration to see the second coming of Jesus Christ. And that's what they saw, you know. And it ends with the second coming, which would be to the Jews, and that's fine. But John then is made a promise. John 20:21, he's made a promise while he's alive. Now this is after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. He appears to the disciples. Alright? Then you start about verse 20. Then Peter, turning about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus answered unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went out this saying abroad among the brethren, that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said, Not unto him he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Right. Now listen. And it goes on to I like the faithful and true witness of the age we're in, verse 24. And this is the disciple which testified of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. Alright. Now, Jesus made a promise to John. I like the way, wouldn't it, Brother Forney, talking about all they could do was argue with each other about who was the best and who was going to lead and who wanted to sit here and wanted to sit there. And see, here's the fact that Peter gets a little bit jealous, I guess, and he says, you know, to Jesus, who, you know, what's this man going to do? You spoke to me about feeding my sheep, you know, and you've done these things. What's this one to do? And he said, what's that to thee if he abides till I come? A saying went out from among the disciples that John wasn't going to die. Howbeit, Jesus didn't say that. He didn't say John wasn't going to die, but he said John would live to see his coming and also the end of the world. So that was a promise to John. Now, we have a promise. We have a promise in this end time to come to the Word and be changed.
Amen.
All right. Now, if we believe it.
Amen.
See, but now we can argue about who's going to be what.
Right. There you go.
See, you know, what we're going to do here and what we're going to do that. We can argue with that, but no. It's just believe the promise.
Right.
Thank God for the promise and depend upon it.
Right.
No matter how it goes or whatever thing keeps going down,
right,
just believe the promise.
Right.
And just say, thank you, Lord, for the promise. You made me the promise. Now, John probably felt pretty bad because it's about 60 years or maybe a little more than that between the time, about 60 years, 62 or something like that, because AD 95, 96 is when John goes to Patmos. So you got about 60 years or two or something like that that John is having to wait on the promise. Maybe in his thinking, he would go back in his mind and he would say, well, you know, I've seen the coming of the Lord. I was on Mount of Transfiguration. But that don't seem to be the promise that he made, that I would tarry until he would come. He's more emphasizing something about, you know, maybe the end of the world than he is about just his second coming. Because the second coming of Jesus Christ is not the end of the world. That's the way we used to teach it in organized religion, you know. We taught the second coming of Jesus Christ. Oh, that's the end of it. It's the end of the second coming. It'll just everything blast away and it'll all be gone, the second coming. And not realizing there was a lot to deal with in the second coming of Jesus Christ. Alright. But now listen. John then is chosen to see what no man upon earth could see. He would see all the way. He would be chosen. Taken up. Had to be taken to Patmos to get him away from the world. And things. Throwed out there and boiled in oil for 24 hours to try to boil the spirit out of him. They couldn't kill him. And they finally just throwed him on Patmos to, you know, like an Alcatraz or, eat up with snakes and stuff like that, and they throwed him out there just to be by himself, I guess, and, you know. But yet he was chosen to see all the way to the end of the world. All the way to the millennium. All the way to the future home. Because he was given the book of Revelations, right? That shows all the way, even to the future home coming down. All right. Now, so then what did he do? We know these things, but let's just read a little of it because of someone else maybe out there that hadn't had the opportunity to hear what you heard. See? Well, let's listen now. So don't get lost in the message today. Get the point this morning. It's a background for this afternoon. So you can go on home and forget it this afternoon, and you'll say, well, I'll get it later. Well, that's all right. But listen, Revelations chapter 4, part 3, Throne of Mercy, paragraph 71, 1961, 0108. He's talking about, after this, and I looked and saw an open door. Revelation 4:1, after the church is gone, then a door was opened. And we went through all of that and found that that was Christ, that was Christ was the door. And the same voice that was walking in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks also was the same voice he heard in heaven saying, come up hither. Now, all right, the same voice. So now what are you listening for? What kind of a voice are you listening for? Oh, if I could just hear, Brother Brown told Brother Charlie Cox, said, Brother Charlie, the same voice that called you and told you to turn around will one day call you and tell you to come up. Same voice. Won't be something different, all right? But now listen what he says now. John went up. It represented the church going in the rapture. Now, why would it, why would it represent the church going up in the rapture? What is the prophet saying? What is his point? You know, what's he talking about when he says these things? Just like we'll get to it in a minute, when he says the word rapture, he's not even in the Bible. It's the word caught up. Do you think he's just saying, well, it's the word caught up because the word rapture is not in the Bible? That's what most people say. Well, the word rapture is not even in the Bible. It wasn't even a word back there. So it's the word caught up. Oh, we understand. But what does he mean? We understand, but what did he mean? What was he getting at? All right. Why would he say that John going up, one person now, would represent the rapture? Now remember, we're here. Right? We're here in the world. We're reading this. That we've been able to read for many hundreds of years about John going up. Alright? You go way back in the early ministry of the prophet and John going up represented the rapture. We'll get to it in a minute. But why was he saying that it represented the rapture? The church going up. What's he getting at? What's the point? Think on these things. Think seriously today. And I would ask you to, if you don't understand, to get the tape and just go over it and over it and over it. I'll try to do the best I can to express it unto you of what I've got on my heart. All right. Now watch what's happened. Did John, let me put this in here before I go any further. Did John go up in the rapture? Was John caught up to heaven? Well, we read it right there. Did he actually physically translate? Now, like I've always said, if you've seen him, it's 2 years, remember, 1895 to 96. About 2 years that he was in the vision of seeing these things. Yet you can read the book of Revelations in a matter of, fast reader could read it in what? 2 hours at the most of the book of Revelations. And it took him 2 years to be able to write those things down. All right? Now, was he taken up physically? Or would you maybe be able to see him laying back with his hands under his head in what we would call a daydream stage? Remember when Brother Branham went beyond the curtain of time, that he looked back and he saw his body.
Amen.
Now surely he was caught up to see a lot of things, wasn't he? He was caught up to not just see, he was caught up to feel, to hear, to everything of the people that was there. Now, in doing that, my point is, John physically never went in a rapture. Alright? So then the word rapture in our mind. Now I've looked these up in the Strong's and things. And it has the relating meaning. The word rapture is not in the Bible, we know that. But Webster's and the things, it has the related meaning of being the same as caught up. Alright? Because that's what the prophet was saying, is the word caught up. The word caught up is in the Bible. And it signifies going from one dimension to another. You know, and things. But we use the word caught up, and that's what I want you to think of today. The word caught up is signifying that we can be, even now we're caught up.
Right. All right.
But yet we're waiting for the rapture.
Amen.
Now what do you mean?
Right.
And as I said last night in the Bible study, we were talking a little bit about it, that people ever since I've been in the message has been preaching that we've been in the rapture. Ever since 63. We've been in the rapture ever since 63. But now we know the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of an archangel and a trumpet. Well, what about the rest of the people? What about those who died before the prophet came? What are they in? Alright? So let's go with what the prophet said. The word rapture is not in the Bible. So evidently our word of rapture that we use in our mind signifies a dimensional change. You know. Changing from one dimension into another dimension or one place to another. Whereas the word caught up can have more signification to it as a process that's taking place.
Amen.
All right, are you listening now? So the title of the message now, this is number 36, this will be Caught Up. And that's the title of the message now. So you'll see this afternoon more what I'm talking about, but I've got to say this, because if I just say what I want to say this afternoon, then you're going to be lost in the meaning. Because your mind is going to be locked, rapture. Rapture, see that? Unlock it. Get what I'm talking about. Right up front, I'm trying to tell you what I'm talking about. The word rapture seems to signify in our human thinking the moving from one place to another as a physical part. Right? And when we think of rapture, that's right. Now you say rapture. Alright. Now, we say being born again is something that's transpiring over a period of time. Alright. And then some have tried to preach the rapture of saying, and I've said it too, and I believe it, that, you know, the day you receive the new birth, you start in a rapturing condition, but you're not raptured. Right? You're still here. So the word rapture, in our mental capacity of our mind, deals with more or less a going up to heaven, moving out. Whereas John went into another dimensional form, yeah. But it was only by the Spirit and not by the reality of a human body. Now that's very valuable to you. Because see, if he went up in the rapture, how would he come back? And Brother Branham went up physically beyond the curtain of time, you know, physically, corporal body beyond the curtain of time. How could he have come back? So it didn't happen. He went there, and you want to call it soul, theophany, fine, that's great. It's spirit, because it all deals with it. And that's wonderful. But just get the point now. See? So now look what he said. John went up, it represented the church going in the rapture. John went up in the Spirit, was took up into heaven, and foresaw all the things that God promised and said to the disciples. That's what he said. What is it to you if he tarries till I come? He saw the coming of the Lord and what would take place. He saw on earth what would take place on earth to the rapture of the church, and was taken up and showed plumb on down even to a past the millennium. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Now, he wasn't shown that in Matthew 16:17. Alright? Because we know back there that they never went up. But here you get your mind locked on the thinking that rapture, going up. Alright? So then you can't use the word rapture of a physical going up for John on Patmos. Because like I said, and I'll say it again, if he went up in a physical rapture, then he couldn't come back. Alright? He probably, like Brother Branham, looked back on earth and saw his body. I believe in being called up now. Don't misunderstand me. But that's in the Spirit. Have you ever been caught up in the Spirit to where anything around you didn't amount to anything? That you didn't pay any attention to what your surroundings was for a while? Have you ever been so hungry until that your intestines was growling, but yet you pick up the Bible or a prophet's book, you know, a book or a tape or whatever and put it on, and about that time you get caught up in what he's saying, and an hour later you're... Well, I was hungry a while ago. See? Because that's being caught up in the Spirit. Alright? So now listen. Now these are just proving a point, so it's not just arguing over what was doing, but watch what he go on to say. This is paragraph 57, number 2 in your notes, Revelation chapter 5, part 2, Bruce Serpent 61:6-11. In this quotation, for a little background to get what John is now, where John is now, we found out that in the last message, I was just briefly looking over it yesterday, some of the context that I had spoken of, and John was carried up into heaven and saw those things. And I'd noticed in there that he had given me a revelation that, you know, after his resurrection, many was with him, and some said, what will happen to this man that's leaning upon you, upon your bosom, John? Jesus turned and said, what is it to thee if he tarries till I come? So he never... Then there went out a doctrine. Then there went a doctrine out. See how easy it can start? There went a doctrine out that John wasn't going to die until he seen Jesus coming or till the second coming. The Bible said there was a doctrine went out of that. Howbeit, Jesus never said it that way. He said, what is it to you if he tarries till I come? Now we find out that he was lifted up into the heavens and saw from then until the coming of the Lord, as though he had been there and seen it all happen. Now, get my point now. John himself did not live. He lived to be 90-something years old, and then he died a natural death, and only one of the apostles after coming to the exile of Patmos. Now, what's he saying? John never lived to see in physical what he saw in the Spirit. Right. But see, don't get caught up now in your terminologies of your mind of get what I'm saying, because John was carried up to heaven and saw the things to come. See, in Revelation it says, come up and I'll show you things which must be hereafter. All right? Now, my point is getting you to see it. Brother Brown said he saw from there. John just didn't see the things hereafter because he would have been after the rapture. If John taken up 4:1 was just seeing the future from 4:1 and him stand up in heaven, then he would have only seen what took place after the rapture. But he wasn't. He was shown the church ages. He was shown right where he was at, from there all the way through the church ages. Then he was shown, so then Revelation 4:1, see? As long as you're in the Spirit, you can come right back to Revelation 1 and not have no problems. That's what I've tried to get you to see, where it says over there, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished. When Brother Branham said the bride goes up, Revelation 4:1, and not seen until 1921. But when John's writing it, his mind falls back, but he said, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. He comes right back down to earth from his natural condition to see what he had done wrote in the church ages. So don't worry about one looking at the other one. Get the point of what I'm trying to get you to do today. I started this preach without even reading a note or anything. I didn't really want to write down what I've got to say, but I've got it written down, so don't worry about it. I'll read it if I have to. If you cut me off, I'll just keep reading. All right? But now listen. A saying went out, so it's still on the power of transformation, that the prophet's still covering the same thing, which is 1965. But look down to the last. God took that young John, where I've got it underlined, lift him up in the spirit, and saw his coming plumb over into the age that is to come. See? See what it is? It is to you if he tarries. What is it to you if he tarries? He didn't tarry in physical, but the word that he spoke through him brought us to this age where we are now. Now the word spoken through John brought us to where we are now. So then John was what? He was caught up in the Spirit to see those things. Now I gave you a couple of more, one off of Revelation chapter 4, paragraph 141, where he talks about that he saw it in a preview, saw it rehearsed, the whole thing. In other words, God rehearsed to John the whole thing that was going to take place. He saw it in a preview, just as he had lived it. It was that personal to him. Alright? And see, as he did then, he saw the church all the way to the coming in the whole book of Revelations. I just gave you these where you could read them. Right? He showed him the whole thing before he died. That's in the next one. He showed him all the way. That's Revelation chapter 4. Part 1, paragraph 145. He showed him all the way to the eternal home of the saved, just as though he lived right down through there, the whole thing. Now, by point, I'm just trying to get you to see something. John wasn't just seeing from the rapture on. He was shown from where he was all the way through the church ages, because at AD 95 and 96... your first church age started about AD 53. But this is somewhere about AD 95, 96 that he's going over here. But the promise was back there when about AD 33, somewhere along in there, that he was shown that would hold true. All right? See, so he's seeing the church ages. In other words, he's seeing, and there's one in there they gave, he's seeing what was, what is, and what is to come. John was shown the whole church ages. Then he was shown to, you know, comes up into the rapture to see these things of after the rapture. You know, after the caught up. Alright. But now watch what I'm saying. Look down at number 7 on your notes, which is page 120 of the first seal. 1963-03-18. John caught up in the fourth chapter to see these things, which was, which is, and which is to come. But the church finishes at the fourth chapter, and Christ takes up the church, caught up in the air to meet him, and does not appear again until the 19th chapter, when he comes back with him as King of Kings. All right? But now listen. The word rapture. Number 9 on your word notes. The word rapture in the Bible is not even used at all. We just put that word there, he says. The Bible says caught up. Being caught up. Now, he didn't just find that out then, because if you go right back above there in number 8 of your notes, you'll see that he's back in 1961. He's talking about caught up at the rapture of the church. He just didn't catch it when he preached in 1965 that the word rapture is not in the Bible. It's the word caught up. That's my point. He knew that it was caught up, but he's talking about caught up in the rapture. Now remember the definition I gave. As human beings, we think of rapture as we're standing here, our chains go, we're going up into heaven, we're totally gone. Whereas the word caught up can signify something that is in motion. Right. I agree that for quite a while, and I won't tell you where this morning, but for quite a while, we have been caught up, or being caught up, because we're not going to be changed in a moment and twinkling of an eye.
Amen.
All right. So now the prophet covers it. Jehovah Jireh, 1961. He's talking about the rapture of going to meet him. We'll have to be changed. We'll have to and caught up. Now listen to this. You can't be caught up the way you are now. Listen. You're too heavy. Now, bud, that fits this age. You don't see no skinny people anymore. That's what gets me. I'm fat myself, but I'm just honest and I watch it. I've been to the Philippines. I've been to Brazil. I've been to Jamaica. You go to Brazil and you walk down the streets, you look anywhere, and you don't see a fat lady. Now, I don't mean fat like totally fat. I mean overweight. Maybe I ought to use the word overweight. You don't see an overweight man. Now, every once in a while, on a rare occasion. But here in America, you can't turn around without seeing most of the women are overweight, most of the men are overweight. We've ate ourselves that away down at McDonald's until even that fella sued McDonald's for making a hamburger so good that it would make you fat. Now, you don't have to buy it. That's what I'd have told him if I'd have been the judge. I just said, that's stupid. You don't have to buy the thing. But Brother Brown, I used to kid Brother Moat years ago. Brother Moat was kind of short and chunky, but he weighed a whole lot. He outweighed me by a whole lot and as tall as I am. And I used to tell him, I said, Brother Moat, it's going to take more rapture and faith for you than it is me.
Right.
He said, why? I said, because you're heavier.
Right.
Well, I didn't know Brother Brown had said this, or I'd give him this quote.
Right.
But he says, you're too heavy. Now, I don't believe he's talking about too heavy. You know what? I don't believe he's talking about weight-wise.
Right.
All right? I believe he's talking about we're too tied down to the world. Because you see these football players and all like that, they weigh 240 pounds. And you see them run a 100-yard dash. And what is it? Four or five or they can run it? Four something? Yeah. 4 seconds and a 100-yard dash. And man, I mean, I can crawl there in 2 weeks, but... But now, listen, to be caught up, that's the point I want you to see. All right? To be caught up in the rapture is going to require a lot more than we ever think of. Because it's not how heavy we are. God don't have no worries about vacuums. Because I've always understood that when you're changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, that you're going to go back to where you was as a young person and you're not going to be overweight for your size. Now, you know, all right? I mean, that's my understanding. What about you? So the prophet is talking about overweight by being so earthbound that we can't be caught up. See, we're supposed to be, even by the new birth, resurrected, sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible says. All
right?
See, already taken place by the new birth. But here's my point for the day now. Listen to the next one the prophet preached, confirmation of the commission, 1962, 122. And Jesus is so close to coming to the earth now until his power is beginning to catch the people and winding them up, getting them ready for the bride, getting ready to be caught up in the rapture. A church that'll just fit just exactly to be taken up through its power and all drawn with the rest of them that's born again out of the earth, Jesus is coming. And he goes on to showing you coming through the Pentecostals, the justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and right on into where we are today. But now listen. Caught up in the rapture. Now, if being caught up in the rapture was Martin Luther, John Wesley was caught up. The Pentecostals were caught up. Alright? See, then we have to be caught up. Alright? Now, if we're not caught up, there's not going to be a rapture. There's not going to be a physical going into another dimension by a human body that the body of that person has not had the Holy Spirit within it to bring the person to a position of being caught up. And that's where our trouble is. We're caught, we're too earthbound. Not because of heavy weight, but because of the heaviness of sin that we allow to conquer us instead of us conquering it. So you got to be caught up in the rapture. In other words, it's not going to be a rapture unless you and I are caught up. So first thing is, if you're not born again, you're not caught up at all. If you're not born again, and at the age of accountability, and realize that you're lost, then you don't have no hopes of a rapture. Now, I said that the way I wanted, age of accountability. So we don't know what the age of accountability is, but we know one thing for sure. I've taught you and I believe it. I don't believe that mom and daddy's going in the rapture, you know, and a baby stay here that's under the age of accountability. I don't believe that, because you say, well, now what if it was a problem? Well, Brother Brown said an illegitimate child wasn't going. Then he turned around and says, that don't compare to, that don't fit today. Because if you're born again, you're not illegitimate. You're in the family of God. But he said an illegitimate child going into rapture. He said no. All babies won't go into rapture when the rapture takes place. Now you better think about this, parents. Because I've taught this from many, many years ago, and it's there to prove I still believe it. I believe if Anna and Richard would go into rapture, and it happened right now, I believe Abby Grace will go. Right. Now, but now, if Richard and Anna don't go into rapture, Abby Grace is not going. Now, did you see why I reversed it? If they both go, Abby Grace will go because she's a child. But if they don't go, she don't go. Alright? Now, your parents ought to be considering one thing. You better be considering the fact, I want to make sure I go where my children that are little will have an opportunity to go. Because if they don't, they're going to be here in the tribulation. All babies don't go in the rapture. There is no word on that. Now, all babies go to heaven, yes. We know that. Under the age of accountability, all babies go to heaven if they die. Right. All right? But the thing of it is, they're not going into change of the body. Right. Unless it's on the basis of mom and daddy going. You said, now you're putting it on mom and daddy. Well, you put it where you're going to put it. I'm putting what I believe and have for all these years. Because right. I don't believe a just God would leave a baby here to go through the tribulation if mom and daddy both are gone in the rapture. But see, then that would take away then an illegitimate child. I'm sorry that I got to say it the way I say it because that's what I believe. Because your prophet's one that said it. I wasn't the one that come up with that doctrine. He said an illegitimate child. He said, I don't see how that can be a predestinated seed. See why it's so much, how much we need to live right? You know that you're living right for your family as well as for your own salvation. Brother Dale, I went out years ago and I committed adultery and I've got a child out of it. I'm sorry. Your prophet said it. I didn't. You're going to have to deal with your prophet and God on that. But you say, well, how do? Well, I'm just trying to tell you the truth. But there's a hopes if you go. But there's no hopes at all for the child if you don't go. So you ought to be living. You ought to be living for nothing else but for somebody else. And that living for somebody else ain't just, well, I believe the message now. I'm going to believe the message because I want my kids to be saved. I'm not going to go and do it, but no, you don't believe the message and you're not going. Is that plain enough? I mean, is that straight enough to word it without any loopholes? I've been accused of people saying, brother, but the way you say things, people can lean it. Well, you lean it. I can't help it. I said what I meant what I said. If you lean it, you lied. You see, that baby could be totally dependent upon you. Because if mom and daddy don't go, the baby's not going in the rapture. Sure, it may go to heaven, but it'll be killed in the tribulation. And you want it to be left here? To go through all of the horrible things of... I'm as honest as I could be. I'd want to live for God if it wasn't nothing else, but for my family. If there was no salvation involved in it, if there was no eternal life involved in it, if there was no hope for me ever receiving anything from God, I want to live to where my family can see at least something about God. And I know I make a horrible example. I know that. But I want them to see one thing. I've got that in my mind. Well, you're just trying to live because you want to live. I just said it and I meant it. Whether heaven or whatever, if I'm bound for hell, I want to live so that the people around me can say I did at least see somebody that said he loved the Lord. What are we doing? I thought the Christian life was living for other people. I didn't know it was living for you. If it's you only, then you lost. Living for others is the Christian. That's what Jesus done. Right. But see what I'm talking about? See, the day we're born again, we didn't take a rapture. Right? Did you walk off the earth the day you was born again? Come on now. Well, what happened though? You started being caught up. You started being caught up. You started a process that put the resurrection inside of you, right? By the new birth.
Amen.
Put the resurrection inside of you.
That's right.
Put you to a position to where that you're being born again.
Amen.
All right. If you're being born again, then you're being caught up. But now let me say it this way. You can be totally caught up until there's no sin or anything against you. That still don't mean you're changed. I gave you a quote in there where the prophet said, you say that I've given my heart, myself to the Lord. He said, that don't mean you're ready for the rapture. He said, rapture is only for the elect. Not just because that you say, I'm born again, I'm ready. This age requires more. There'll be a lot of people that'll be there just when they're born again and died and things like that. But you and I don't have no excuse. So don't lay on that. Well, I'm born again, so I'll be there. No, I'll just take it easy. Don't matter. Because I'm going to be there. You're proving right there the very thoughts you're proving you're not right. You're proving you're not saved. Come on, be sensible human beings. Our lives we live prove what we are. Have you repented for what you've been doing? Are you trying to keep your slate clean? To where you can be like the colored brother said, I don't want no trouble when it comes down to the river. Well, most people think, no, I ain't going to worry about it till I come down to the river. That's the way most people live. But just remember, something might get you before you get to the river. Right? So I'd be concerned about it. See, the life we live proves what we are. The way we live proves what we are, what's inside of us. Well, all of us have got problems. Don't lay on excuses. Don't bring up excuses. You're proving there's something wrong with you. When you fall back on some excuse, you're proving there's something wrong with your experience. Instead of saying, God, help me. The man telling me the truth, help me that I can get myself straight. But you see, we've got to be caught up in the rapture. Meaning before a rapture can come, there's somebody got to be caught up to a position to be waiting for that. Now, I'll repeat this afternoon. But listen. In the days of the church ages, each church age was caught up. That's what the new birth was. No matter what age you're in, even Martin Luther, whatever, they were caught up. But the rapture didn't come. So you can be caught up and be standing in the right place. We're still waiting for the rapture. Well, they didn't know the message like we know. We know now that the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, voice of the archangel, trumpet of God, dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which alive and remain be caught up with. But we know all about it. And go out and live like the devil. And claim we're ready for the rapture. There's people today that would quote you that scripture over and over and over and over if you talk to them. And don't even go to church. Don't even go to church. Go out and live any kind of a life. I don't know if I'm ready. That's what Brother George Smith said about the people at Gainesville one time. We were standing there and people, we had a meeting and Brother George was speaking and we were out greeting the people there at the Ramada Inn, I believe it was, and we were standing there and Brother George, somebody come by, hey Brother so-and-so, hey Sister so-and-so, hey, how you doing? A lot of people came from a lot of places. And as they'd walk by, Brother George would say, where do they go to church? I said, they don't. Here'd come another group. Where do they go to church, Brother Dale? They don't. He said, Brother Dale, these same people call me weekly to talk to me, and they are ready for the rapture. I said, you asked me the question where they went to church. I answered your question. I'm not telling you nothing about their salvation. I answered your question. As far as I know, they don't even go to church. He said, but they call me, and the way they talk, they're ready to go. I thought they'd come to your church. I said, no, they don't even go to nobody's church. But they're ready for the rapture. Boy, they're going to be there. Because they believe the prophet's message. I heard the message. I sat there. I sat on the pew when he preached it. I'm right, and I'll be there. Well, what kept Martin Luther from going in the rapture in his day? Now, he will one day because of you and me. Right? They're in the ground waiting on us. It's the seventh church age that takes the rapture, right? They're waiting on you and I to reach a place to bring them out of the ground where they can go up to heaven in the rapture. But get the point what I'm talking about now. They were caught up in the revelation of the age they lived, the genuine were. And then they had to go to the grave. Their soul went under the altar, waiting for a time for something to take place. So what is it, church, if we are caught up enough to say we believe the message? What if we're caught up enough to even get a new birth? What about the rapture? What's keeping it off? 1965, when the prophet preached that about the rapture? Yeah, 1965, 1204, 1965. Did he preach the message called the rapture? What year are we in now? 2008. How many years is that? But everybody's been in the rapture all of them years. They're just waiting on a bus to pull up. We have got to be caught up out of this age as well as all the others were caught up out of their age to even qualify for a change of the body. Even to qualify for a fact of us going to heaven in a rapture change. We got to be caught up. Now, you think about it. Being in the wrong ranks, the prophet said, at the time of the rapture was no excuse. That's in the, one quote is in the chapter 10 of the Church Age book where Brother Lee was writing commentary, or what it was called there, of the church ages, and the prophet used that there. Being in the wrong ranks is no excuse. So then don't say it's my pastor's fault. The prophet said there's not but one thing that qualifies you for leaving a church. Now, I didn't say that. Your prophet did it. I don't like Brother Dale. I'm leaving. Fine. Goodbye. Don't let the door hit too hard. You go out. That's the way I say it. Because I didn't beg you to come, and I don't beg you to stay. That's the one thing I've always been, and that's why people don't like me like that, because they think I should do it. Somebody comes two or three times and then quits coming. Most of these pastors, they call them on the phone. What's wrong with you? What do you need? Anything? I'm not going to do it. Sorry. I'm not going to do it. I didn't beg you to come, and I ain't going to beg you to come back. Because if you either serving God, this church is built on one thing, serving God and His Word.
Right, amen.
Not built on trying to get people to come to church.
Right, amen.
The way I've been, I know I've drove probably more people away than I've brought here. But I'm just honest to try to do that, church. Because I want to answer to God for telling the truth. You can't go to him with something to say, Brother Dale didn't tell me. But the prophet said the one thing that you can leave a church for is because your pastor gets off the word. He said if he gets off the word, you leave him. If you think I'm off the word, then that's the best thing for you to do is you need to leave because you're hindering me. And I'm hindering you if you think I'm off the word. But now listen, church. If we're not caught up out of the age that we're living in, as they were caught up down through the ages, don't think about a rapture. Martin Luther was caught up out of the age. The message of the just shall live by faith caught him up out of the age. We've covered that, right? We'll get to it this evening over in Leviticus 25:8. About the messengers and the things. How they come at the end of the age. See? And how many people of the message even understands that? Why don't you try to talk to them about it, that the messenger come at the end of the age? Because you've got to have the eight manifestations of God, but only seven church age men. But if you don't have eight manifestations of God, Brother Branham couldn't have come at the end of Laodicea. And if Brother Branham come at the end of Wesley's age, he would have been a Laodicean. That's what he said. See, they don't even understand. Well, Brother Dale, we don't have to have all this time. Listen to me. One thing, you get in one thing from Brother Dale. You got to understand what's brought before you. And if you claim that you don't understand and you blame it on somebody else, it's your problem. Take that from me right here, as blunt as I can put it. That you say, like Sister Gail said one time to Brother Dick, don't tell me no more and I won't be responsible. It's done too late. She done heard too much. She done heard enough to know if there was problems that she heard any more. Well, she had problems with what she'd already heard. It was either line up to what she heard or forget it. But listen, Martin Luther was caught up out of the age. He was resurrected, sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus by the new birth of the age that he was living in. That didn't make a rapture take place. Why? Well, we weren't there. Don't be so much a goody-goody you think God can't take this thing on without me and you. That's one thing you need to get out of your mind in a hurry. You know why that we're still here? Why do you think I read what he said to John? He promised it. You and I are still here 40 years after the prophet's gone, 42 or something like that. Why? Because God promised it. He promised John that he would take him up, and he did, and showed him from there all the way to the future home. Do you think anything in there can be changed? Now the prophet said the future home's coming down to earth, right? Is that what he taught? Well then, could you preach a message that would make the future home step in heaven like, who is it? The Jehovah Witness? They got the 144,000 up in heaven, and they got the rest of the people are down here on earth. See, they got, you know, some of them are up above the others. How can you have that? How can you bring something like that? You got some in heaven and some on earth. But is that the way we believe it? But you see, we've got to be caught up out of the age. We're too heavy. We've got to be caught up out of the age in the message of the hour. Now, how many of you have heard me say it? How many times have you heard me preach on it? That the walls of Jericho didn't go down because Joshua stood out there and said it. It was when the people became what Joshua said and stood at the walls and called it themselves. Well, Brother Branham, come. We're just sitting back waiting on him to come back. Show me that in the Bible. Well, you're just too blind. You can't see it. Okay. That's all right. That's all right. I'm blind. I just can't see what you're talking about. That's what I told the man on the two-soul doctrine. I said, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying one thing for sure. I can't see it. I can't see what you're talking about. I said, so you pray for me and I'll pray for you. I'm just telling you honestly, I can't see it. See, that's why these doctrines, I just can't go along with it. I just can't see it. I can only see what God reveals to me. But see, that's being caught up. But now listen, and I'll review this afternoon to go back over it again. Every person in this message could be standing right here on the pyramid where it says Holy Spirit. The faith of the fathers. That don't bring a rapture. That don't bring a change. This is not an automatic process. It's a growth development. So when we're caught up, just to be caught up out of the, and to how the faith of the fathers don't put you caught up in this message. It puts you caught up in the faith of the fathers that was brought by the disciples. And remember, at least 120 in the upper room had that. And many more were taught that and become that of the faith of the fathers. And they went to the grave. Yet they were caught up out of the age. They were caught up into the revelation of the hour until they walked as God upon the earth. They wrote a book of Acts after them. Yet they didn't walk off the earth in a change. Why? They without us cannot be made perfect. As I said, don't use the flimsy excuse, we just wouldn't there. God could reverse this in 2 seconds and put us back there. Or it wouldn't take Him that long. But listen, I'm trying to be dead serious because it's something I want to speak this evening on. But if you don't understand this, you won't understand what I'm talking about. I believe it. Amen, amen. You taught us that before. I'm trying to get you to see something that we've got a place we've got to be standing. We've got to be standing at the faith of the fathers to be able to even comprehend the message of this hour that the prophet has brought. Well, I didn't know his response. That's like Brother, like Richard said that time. He said, I didn't know that it was required that we have the stature of a perfect man, all those virtues. He said, I finally read what the prophet had to say. That's required. This age is required for you and I to stand where the apostles stood. Then we can talk about a rapture. Then we can talk about a position of being caught up. Because if we all get the point, now quit on, if we everyone stood here, everybody in the bride around the world stood here with the faith of the fathers, that would not bring the rapture. It didn't. But God promised John that he would see all the way. And John was taken up out of the church ages into the revelation to see the one sitting on the throne. I've made this statement how many times so far? John was caught up to see where Jesus went. We'll start on that probably Wednesday or when we get back from Oklahoma. But I'm trying to put this in here for you to understand. Do you understand? Everybody in the world could stand at the faith of the fathers. It would not make the rapture take place. Every person in the world, everybody could be saved. 6 billion now? And everybody stand at that position. It wouldn't bring the rapture. It would be a wonderful place. But it wouldn't bring the rapture. But Brother Dale, what about all these others? Don't worry about all these others. Worry about yourself. We better get down to where we sing that song, "It's Me, Lord." You know, I'm the one that's needing it now. Because you see, the dependence has come down on you and I. And when the dependence comes on the last one, they always save the fastest runner until the last, right, in a relay race. They don't put him first. Why? Because he might outrun everybody else and get 10 laps ahead. But what about the rest of them that's following? Something takes place. The last runner is the guy that's got to carry the burden. He's the one. If they're 10 laps down, he's got to make it up. They without us cannot be made perfect. Each age has been caught up in the rapture of the age they're in, or the catching up for their word that they were in. But they're waiting on you and I, and something has to take place in you and me. And it's the very thing the prophet said. But yet we just look at it, and like I said, how many knows? How many people of the message have you heard talk about? How many preachers have you heard preach that it's required that we have the faith of the fathers? No, it's all free. Oh, we're in the seventh church age. We got all these things. We had these things. We come in the world. Always was eternal. We just don't have to worry about it. We're just sitting here waiting on the bus. Now you tell me that's not what's being preached around the world. Come and let's sit in my office about it. I'll call names and bring it right down and let you sit and listen to them. Because you show me where there's anybody preaching about the seals and the things like that. Oh, we don't need to know about seals. Where's anybody preaching Daniel 70 weeks? We don't have to know anything about it. The prophet said if you didn't understand Daniel 70 weeks, you couldn't understand the seals. I didn't say that. He did. But how many people around the world in this message understand the Daniel 70 weeks? Is that making anything out of me and you? No, it's making that God gave a promise. He promised the people if they would be ready. Now what if John would have said, oh, okay. The Lord promised me he's going to show me all these things. Well, I'll just go out and live like the devil for the next 50, 40 years. No. Every day he was making ready. Every day his experience within him was making ready. That he realized something would have to take place. He was promised that of the Lord, and he was waiting on that to be fulfilled. But you say, well, Brother Dale, I just don't like the way you are. I'll just go somewhere else. Well, that's like I said, I don't want to lose nobody. But if that's all it takes to get you to leave, then you better go on. If you don't want the truth, go. Well, now you're saying you're the only one that's got the truth. I didn't say that. Remember, the saying went out among them that John wasn't going to die. Howbeit, Jesus didn't say that. The saying go out, Brother Dale thinks he's the only one that's got it. Howbeit, I didn't say that. Because anybody that's ever been around me long enough to know, I've taught it all of my ministry, that if God is revealing something here, he's revealing something somewhere else around the world. We're not the only pebbles on the beach, you know. Sometimes I wonder if we even got on the beach. But listen, church. Caught up. We got to be caught up in the revelation of the age that we live in. Martin Luther couldn't, and John Wesley come along, so I'll just believe Martin Luther's justification. No, he wasn't caught up.
Amen. Right.
When sanctification comes, it's required that he walk into it. He was caught up into it. When the baptism of the Holy Ghost came on Azusa Street, they couldn't say we believe Luther's and Wesley's message, so we'll just stay here. That's what your a lot of your church has done. Right at that time, they rejected the gifts, they rejected all the things, right? But see, you've got to walk in the message of the hour to be able to say you're caught up. You're caught up in the revelation. The word rapture is not even in the Bible. But the word caught up is. And we're being caught up. Being caught up. But we've got to be caught up to be waiting. And we've got to know where to wait. Do you know where to wait? Do you know where that anything started that would be connecting to the rapture? Can you put it together? What are we waiting on? Come on, Brother. What are we waiting on? Caught up. John was only caught up in type. He was not raptured off of the earth. He was caught up in type. We must reach that place that he was caught up to while we're here on the earth to be able to be waiting for the change. What about the rest of the message? We don't consider it. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. That's all you hear the people preach. Oh, we're in the rapture. We're in the rapture. Oh, we heard the shout. What about the voice of the archangel? What about the trumpet? And the prophet said a gospel trumpet or something would take place. What about the archangel? Have you heard him? Do you know when he sounded or began to sound? But being caught up. John, being caught up in type, he was really caught up in the revelation. And not in a physical change. Let's stand. He was caught up. He was resurrected, sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Brother Brown said he typed the rapture. So whatever took John up is going to have to be the place you and I stand. Now I'm saying this and meaning it. Listen. So he didn't pick somebody that was a novice and took them to Patmos. He took a man that stood with the faith of the fathers, the original out of the upper room, with the faith of the fathers, and been there for 60 years and held on when the deterioration of the church had begun to fall away. And the man stayed true, and God took him to Patmos. It's a place to be waiting. Brother Moat, years ago, this is about 1970, a place to be waiting. You think I'm making a joke when I say that you don't catch the train down at the airport. Me and Wade be on the plane, Lord willing, next Saturday, or this coming Saturday. Wade, we'll meet up in Gainesville at the bus depot. We'll sit up at the bus depot till the plane comes and gets us. You say, you just talk too hard, Brother Dale, because you make it look like it's something that's... I wish I could make it so hard it would stir your heart. Amen. Right. Go ahead, Brother Dick. 262 in the Red Book. Anybody have a need? We'll just sing this. You have a need.
In my heart has been brought, since Jesus came into my heart. I've died in my soul, for which long I have sought, since Jesus came in.
Anybody have a need?
Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Of joy o'er my soul like the billows roll. Came into my heart.
Come and let's believe and see. Lord Jesus, Brother Gary's sick. We send this prayer cloth in Jesus' name and we believe it. Give it to him, see if he'll be all right.
Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul. Like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart.
Father, you know our brother has a need, if his knee and his legs are hurting him, just reach down and touch him. Also remember Sister Janet and the kids there, Lord. Just touch them with this old cold and things. Let your love be made manifest. Thank you for the healing atonement of Calvary. In Jesus' name. Anybody else?
Into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul. Like the sea billows roll.
All right. But the thing of it is, there's nothing to understand. you're trying to understand and you can't. You got to believe him. All right? Don't try to understand or how come this or what it. Believe it that you're healed. All right? Okay. Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we condemn this demon of sickness that's in our sister's body and believe in thy word. And Lord, now our sister is caught up in the understanding that she's not to try to figure this out, but to believe you and accept what you say, and only to say by your stripes she's healed, no matter what. In Jesus' name. Just go say it and believe it. Anybody else? Jesus came into my heart. Oh, Jesus came into my heart. Father, you heard our brother. And Lord Jesus, just fill his heart with love and take the place of the temper and the problems, Father. Because we know as a human mortal, we do have problems. We have troubles. We have things that make us get riled up. But yet we should look to you, Father, and say, thank you, Father. Take away all the things and don't let that raise up anymore into me. And let me be what you want me to be, instead of being what I am, in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else? My heart, oh, to Jesus. Amen. You believe it. Anybody else? Since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul, sea billows rock. Since Jesus came into, you're dismissed. Remember the service this afternoon. Since Jesus came into my heart.